The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports, welcomes you to Sharing the Victory. Listen to the lineup we have for you today. Basketball hero David Robinson.
The heart of the problem is a sin issue.
Absolutely.
And the only way that sin can be dealt with is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way it can be dealt with. There's no other way to get right with God.
Sports broadcasting legend Pat Summerall.
God's not through with you yet. And if you think about that, all of you, the reason all of us are here today is because God's not through with us yet.
And former college basketball coach Jerry Kindle.
The longer I walk with Christ and I'm in the Scripture, I see how sinful I am and how great is the redemption that God has provided through Christ.
It's now time to introduce the host of Sharing the Victory, University of Nebraska assistant football coach Ron Braun.
I'm sure glad you joined me today. Because first up, you're going to hear part two of my interview with David Robinson. David is one of the all-time great centers in the NBA. He won two championships with the San Antonio Spurs. Last week, David talked about how he came to Christ and how he began to look at basketball as a ministry. And today, we pick up where we talked about life after basketball. Gotta hear this. As you left basketball, and I would imagine that that's a tough transition for a guy who's been doing it for so many years. You didn't just stop. You didn't just go into like this early retirement. I mean, you did from basketball, but I've heard a lot about Carver Academy and other things that you've done in the community, particularly there in San Antonio. As you were praying about what the next step of your life was, how was God filling you up with the questions that you had about how to continue to glorify Him with, let's say, like Carver Academy?
Yeah, I mean, it was all the things that He's put into my life. You know, I always kind of try to pray about it and just say, hey, look, you know, Lord, if this is the way you want me to go, just show me, and I'll go. And you know, Carver Academy was one of those things. And, you know, I loved the whole fact about the Naval Academy that you're at this great place, and you're not so much focused on your own, okay, I'm going to get out of here and make a lot of money. You're focused on all these people have laid a great foundation before us, right? And we got to go out and we've got to build on this great foundation which has been laid. And so our focus was to serve. And I said, well, why can't I do that with, you know, little kids? Why can't I do that with 4- and 5-year-olds? Mm-hmm. Begin to teach them how to focus on serving, understanding, hey, there's a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before you, and they have laid a great foundation. Mm-hmm. You know, let's run this race, but let's build on the foundation that's already been laid. You know, the onus is not on you to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. The onus is on you to just continue to add to the great legacy. With our kids, that's what we try to do, starting with, you know, with pre-K. We go through 6th grade. We have 120 kids, almost all of them coming on scholarship. They come from the inner city here in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach them languages. We teach them German, Japanese, and Spanish. All of them have to learn music. They all learn how to read music, play pianos, play recorders. Mm-hmm. We have a broadcasting studio, so they all participate in producing news segments. They write their own stories, and then they'll produce a news 3 days a week. They'll show it to the rest of the school.
Wow.
And, I mean, there's all kinds of things we get them active and involved in, you know, just to kind of spark their minds and get them going. But every day starts with chapel, and that's their foundation.
Huh.
You know? George Washington Carver was a praying man.
Yes.
It's named the Carver Academy. We always tell the kids, we're a praying school. That's what we do,
mm-hmm.
because we're named after Carver, and we're going to be a praying school. We pray for everybody. And we have 6 pillars: leadership, initiative, integrity, faith, service, and discipline. But faith and service are our 2 main pillars that we really focus on. And service, I just feel like the kids have to be actively involved in other people's lives. So we have a sister school in Kenya that we raise money for each year, and we send materials over there, and they send videos back of the kids cheering and thanking our kids. And so, you know, there's a lot of fun things that go on with these kids, but even outside the classroom, where they're doing fantastic in the classroom, but their lives are also being built, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, one thing, David, when I hear about that, I mean, the inner city is a target negatively, but also positively. I mean, there's a lot of people trying to do great things in the inner cities around America,
mm-hmm.
and there's definitely a need. But, you know, for example, there's the Muslim community has gone into the inner city,
mm-hmm.
and is trying to clean up drugs and prostitution and all kinds of things with the Muslim faith, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean,
right.
it is, and I know that there's some out there who are listening to me right now saying, hey, wait a minute, why are you picking on the Muslims? But, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus is God the Son. And that's where we separate from all the other religions. And that's why I want to commend you, because I do believe that we need the boldness the truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all parts of the world, including the inner cities of America, and to teach these young men and women at a very early age how to do life God's way, Christ's way. I'm assuming you don't apologize for making it a Christ-centered school. Is that right?
Oh, no, not at all. Obviously, that is what has strengthened me, and it's the truth.
So, right.
You know, when you stand up for the truth, you're going to be rewarded in the end. But, you know, the thing is you know, we're not called to be antagonizers, you know. So, uh-huh. I mean, the Muslim guys, they come in there and they want to, great, you know, do what you can for people. But it's not always reaching the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is a sin issue.
Absolutely.
And the only way that sin can be dealt with is through Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
The only way it can be dealt with. There's no other way to get right with God. So, you know, that's fine. We can treat the symptoms. You know, if that's what they want to do, great, treat mm-hmm. the symptoms. I mean, yeah, people need to be fed. Mm-hmm. People need to get off the streets. They need to stop, you know, using drugs. Yeah, great. But that still doesn't solve the main issue.
Mm.
The problem is sin. You know, so that's where we, you know, we try to focus on that. But, you know, we are a school, and we try to focus on getting kids focused and motivated and excited. And we understand not everybody's going to accept the gospel. We're not focused on everybody having to proclaim their faith. Mm. You know, what we're saying is we're planting the seeds, we're building, and we're, you know, we're in those inner cities planting the right seeds, and we're shaping and molding character, and these guys will go out there, and they will never, God said, my word will never return void.
Mm-hmm.
They will never forget the seeds that have been planted in their hearts. The pictures that they have of God, we have a pre-K through sixth grade, so our kids are up to 11 years old. The picture that's drawn of God in their hearts will be there when they're 55 years old.
Okay.
It's never going to change. If you teach them what God looks like, 9 times out of 10, they have a father who's missing, or they have a picture of God that's deformed, it's warped.
Right.
And you got to show them what a real father is in Christ Jesus.
Hmm.
So, you know, we're trying to plant those seeds. And you can't guarantee that everybody's going to understand or accept it. But you can plant those seeds, and you can begin the process. And that's what we're trying to do, begin that healing process by giving them the right tools.
I'll tell you what, David Robinson, we will never forget you. On behalf of all of us who know Jesus in America and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Ministry, I just want to thank you for living out your faith simply and powerfully.
All right. Well, thanks, Ron. Appreciate that.
God bless you, David.
All right, brother.
That's David Robinson, the great NBA superstar who's doing mighty work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was an honor to have him on today. You know, I'm going to tell y'all, David's got some really deep things to say. We just weren't able to get it all in. But we do have the entire interview available for you to download and listen. Just go to sharingthevictoryradio.com. Click on Listen Now, and you'll find the David Robinson interview. We've also got it on CD. Just give us a call right now, and we'll send you a free copy. 866-788-5031. Again, that's 866-788-5031. Up next, one of the great voices in sports for years, Pat Summerall, legendary sports broadcaster. You're listening to Sharing the Victory, FCA's national radio program.
We've got our game plan down for the next game, no doubt about it. But I wish we could go over a game plan for life. I mean, every day I walk into this locker room and bam, here it comes. Peer pressure, drugs, partying, you name it. I never know what to say, I never know what to do. I need someone who can coach me for life and give me purpose.
There is a master coach waiting to give you a new game plan for life. Go to morethanwinning.org.
Serving.
Integrity.
Teamwork.
Excellence.
These are the core values of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Get an in-depth look at each value from select contributors such as Tony Dungy, John Wooden, Laura Wilkinson, John Kitna, Betsy King, and Les Steckel. The 4-book set is available now at fca.org. This book series will be an excellent resource for high school, college, and professional athletes and fans at all levels. The Core Values book series available at fca.org. That's fca.org.
Welcome back. Hi, I'm Ron Brown, your host. It's time now for FCA Across America, and our feature is Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall was like a household word for me. Every Sunday, I'd watch pro football on TV, and Pat Summerall was a great play-by-play broadcaster. He was a great kicker back in the day. In addition to broadcasting NFL football games for years, he's also been known for broadcasting golf, especially the Masters. Pat returned to the Masters in Augusta last month for the Augusta Golf Breakfast, hosted by the FCA and Warren Baptist Church in Augusta. Let's hear what Pat had to say as he was interviewed by David McKinley, the pastor at Warren Baptist Church.
Do I remember correctly that it was after a Masters event that your life kind of took a big slice one day, and that is that you suddenly went from here to a hotel room where a group of people who loved you did an intervention.
What they call an intervention. Mm-hmm. An intervention is where they confront you with the fact that you're using too much alcohol or using something to an excess. They convinced me that I needed help in conquering a disease that I had, an insidious disease, alcoholism, and they were right. And during that period of time is when I accepted Christ, during that period at the Betty Ford Center.
And I believe it was there, as you said, that you accepted Christ, but it was in particular because of the reading material. Is that right?
Well, they let you read two books. Legally, you could read two books. One was the AA Bible, the Blue Book, that told stories about people who had done the same things that I had done in my life. And I got tired of reading that. The other book that they would permit you to read was the Holy Bible. And so I started to read the Bible. And I found the answer to a lot of questions that I had about my life, about things that had occurred in my life. And I also had a lot of questions that I couldn't answer by just reading. I needed some help. And I realized at that time that I did need some help.
And so you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Right.
But then that faith was tested in an incredible way because not only had you fought the battle with alcoholism, but you later found out that you had the effect of alcoholism, and that was a deteriorated liver, and had to go through a liver transplant.
Right. The doctors told me before I went to the Betty Ford Clinic that I had done some damage to my liver. The liver was an organ that would heal itself, but if it goes too far, it won't heal itself. The doctor told me that you better start looking at the possibility of a liver transplant. So I did. But not seriously, really. And then finally it got to be, I was starting to lose weight, starting to feel fatigue, started to really deteriorate physically. And I realized that what was happening. So we made contact with the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, and I went there for probably the toughest trip I ever made, going to Jacksonville for a liver transplant. But many things happened during that period of time that that turned me closer to the Christ and closer to the Lord. And the operation obviously was a success. A 13-year-old donor who died at 13, obviously, and somebody has to die, which was one of the tough things that I had to justify in my mind. Here I was, I had lived a thorough, a very successful life, a very happy life, happier perhaps than I thought at times. But I had gotten to a point where I had used up, I thought, my life, and why did I deserve another chance?
You said in that place the thing that was so staggering about the transplant was that someone had to die for you to live.
Right.
And in much the same way, that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that someone has to die that we might be able to live. And that's the message that we have to understand.
Well, there were two people that were in my room who were very influential in my life. One was the chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, a guy named John Weber, late John Weber, and the minister who had baptized me, Claude Thomas, from the church back in Dallas. And they were standing and visiting with me, and I told them of this concern that I was having of that somebody had to die for me to live. And that didn't seem fair, and I didn't think I had lived a good enough life to deserve another chance. And they both said to me, God's not through with you yet. And if you think about that, all of you, the reason all of us are here today is because God's not through with us yet.
That was the legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall at the Augusta Golf Breakfast hosted by FCA. Up next, Jerry Kendall will be with us, the former great college baseball coach. You're listening to Sharing the Victory.
Not only is SharingTheVictoryRadio.com the place to listen to past programs and subscribe to receive the free podcast, SharingTheVictoryRadio.com is also the place that links you to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to learn more about how God is using the largest sports ministry in the world. Also, you'll get access to the online version of Sharing the Victory magazine. Check us out today at SharingTheVictoryRadio.com. That's SharingTheVictoryRadio.com.
When it comes to my sport and my faith, I can be real. I can be transformed. I can live inside out. You can too. Find out how FCA Camps can help you reach your full potential.
FCA Camps, a time of inspiration and perspiration for athletes and coaches. To learn more, call 866-269-2267. Again, 866-269-2267 or go to fcacamps.org. That's fcacamps.org. Check out our newest podcast called One-on-One at sharingthevictoryradio.com. Now back to Ron Brown.
What an honor it is to have one of the great names in college baseball of all time, former University of Arizona head baseball coach, Jerry Kendall. Jerry, thanks for being on Sharing the Victory with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Ron. It's good to talk with you, and I appreciate your faithfulness, displaying your faith in Christ Jesus.
Well, Jerry, we're in this thing together, and now, you know, you're not coaching anymore, but you're doing now a color analysis for Big Ten baseball and the Big Ten Network. As I think about sports, and I think about anything in life, but let's just talk about baseball for a minute. I see it as both a parable and a crucible. Baseball is not only an analogy of how to live the Christian life, but it puts you through trials and tests of all sorts, and it's designed to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. How has baseball done that in your life?
Well, there's a lot of failure in baseball. There's more failure, I think, in the performance of a baseball player than the other sports, because even the best players can only get a base hit 3 out of every 10 times. So, I mean, 7 times you're failing. So emotionally and spiritually, we see that God's hand upon us does not always bring success, does not always bring great exhilaration and rejoicing, but there are times of trial and times of testing when he draws us ever closer to him if we will respond. And the crucible part of baseball is that when I did fail, I knew that God was ever faithful. He would never leave me, that Christ had promised that for the believer, and the Holy Spirit was at work in my life as I was obedient and sought to be faithful to the Lord, that those trials and difficulties were meant to show my weaknesses and that my strength is made perfect in Jesus. Mm. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians.
Mm. We're talking to Jerry Kendall, longtime great baseball coach in college at the University of Arizona. I'd like to talk to this about you in one last question and issue here. Mm-hmm. Regarding the issue of enhanced substances and steroids and all of those kinds of things that have hit the media for the last few years, and I've had people say, well, it's terrible that these guys are doing steroids and so forth. But, you know, Jerry, as we understand eternity, what's even worse or just as equal is a man who never does steroids, who goes to church all his life, who is a good guy, so to speak, but he never understands the gospel. He never comes to Christ. Both die and go to hell apart from Christ. So can something like steroids be, even though it's not a good thing, and we're not certainly promoting that, does it dump enough pain on the ghost to bring a man to his knees to trust Christ? Sometimes I want something dramatic to happen to a guy so that they'll see beyond themselves and their own goodness and see the righteousness of Jesus.
Yes, I agree with you, and steroids and performance-enhancing drugs, it's a confession of by the person who's taking it that they are weak,
right,
that they are unable. They think they are anyway, and they want to have that extra measure of strength and speed. And so they are confessing right away that they're going to do something illegal. And yet, when a person will acknowledge that they have committed wrong and confess that, then the penalty would be lessened in the structure of things as we see it now in the suspensions and fines. Mm-hmm. And it's a parallel with God and his love and mercy. When we, in our sin, come to him and confess, repent of our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, in fact, I can think of a person who did that was Josh Hamilton, the outstanding outfielder. In fact, he's shared his testimony in Sharing the Victory, I believe, for the Texas Rangers, who was a druggie and taking illegal drugs, and he hit the bottom, and he recognized he needed help. He turned to some people in his life for help, but he also turned to God. And he is a witnessing, bold Christian now, confessing that he was in the pits. in a number of ways, especially separated from God because of his sin and unforgiven sin and unconfessed sin.
Right.
But now he has come into the relationship through Christ, and his blood on the cross that paid for our sins. He's forgiven. And I love these kind of redemption stories because that was true of my life. It wasn't anything great, dramatic. I wasn't in jail or I wasn't doing drugs, but I was ruling my own life with a wrong direction. I was messed up. I was a sinner, and I know that. The longer I walk with Christ, and it's been many, many years now, Ron, the longer I walk with Christ and I'm in the Scripture and the Holy Spirit is ministering to me, I see how sinful I am and how great is the redemption that God has provided through Christ.
Well, you know what, Jerry, first of all, I just want to say thank you for your vulnerability, and I think that was so articulated so well. And I feel, Coach, it would be really appropriate if you could close us off with a prayer.
Sure.
Like I said, there are those who are right now recognizing that they have done wrong, and they don't know what to do with it. And so maybe you would just ask that Christ would touch their lives, that they would lead them to him. You go ahead and lead us in prayer.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. We come to you recognizing, Father, our sin, and we recognize, Father, that there is no other way but through Christ to be redeemed of that sin and to be forgiven. Father, I pray that your word of forgiveness and invitation to come home, to come to faith in Christ and then get to know you, Father, as a personal God, I pray that that is going to touch the hearts of many today. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy to undeserving sinners. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Coach Kendall. I tell you what, just great insight, and I just appreciate your
help. Well, Ron, thank you for your faithfulness. I'm blessed whenever I read your columns and whenever I hear you.
Thank you, Coach. I'm honored by those statements, and we just praise the Lord we're in this thing together.
Right.
Been talking to Jerry Kendall, longtime great college baseball coach, now a color analyst with the Big Ten Network, with us here on Sharing the Victory. Thanks for listening to Sharing the Victory. If you've missed any part of today's program, remember that you can go online and listen anytime at sharingthevictory.com. Up next, it's Les Steckel with Coach's Corner. Coach is going to tell us why we need a compass for life's journey. Keep it right here on FCA's national radio program, Sharing the Victory.
Her goal?
To shoot par.
Our goal? To keep her on course. While she prepares for her shot, we prepare her for life. By helping her pursue honorable ambitions, she will stay on course. Join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ. To learn more, contact us at fca.org. That's fca.org. Join us next weekend for Sharing the Victory as you'll hear from TNT sports broadcaster Ernie Johnson.
You know, I realize now looking back that even when I'm not paying God any attention, he's paying plenty of attention to me and that I matter to him.
And Kanakuk Camps director Joe White.
You can go back and you can be a leader in your neighborhood, in your city.
You'll also learn about a new website for parents of skateboarders. Join us next weekend for Sharing the Victory.
Ron Brown, your host, welcoming you back to Sharing the Victory. It's time for FCA President Les Steckel with Coach's Corner.
Last week, I told you how I thought much of our population was spinning out of control because of the overwhelming pace of life. This week, I'd like to focus on those who've been on this treadmill at high speed for many years and now are ready to step off for good and enter retirement. Most men spend their entire lives working very hard to build up nest eggs to use when they leave the workforce. But lately, many nest eggs have been found to be cracked, and your 401k probably looks like a 101k. Very few entering retirement have saved enough or even known what retirement is going to be like. Would you agree? For many men, stepping out of the workforce means they no longer have a direction in life. They lose their purpose. It's a hard thing to go from a full-out sprint to a sudden stop. It's like when someone in the movies is hanging on to the side of a speeding train. They've gone so hard and so fast for maybe 45 years in a certain career trying to climb the ladder of success. Then all of a sudden, they decide to retire. They let go of their grip, fall off that speeding train, and roll down the embankment. Then they get up, dust themselves off, look at their wounds, look to their right and left, and wonder, what direction should I go now? That's the kind of situation that can really test your faith. And it's in those times that you and I must cling to what we know is true about God. As God's Word says in Psalms 139, verse 16, "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." The writer of this psalm doesn't say God planned out all the days of our employment. He says that he planned all our days, period. If we understand the Lord has a plan for our lives right up until the last day, we're here on earth. We'll have peace that passes normal human understanding. Count on it. Most folks know that I was a football coach for many years. Prior to that, however, I served in the United States Marine Corps and spent time in Vietnam. Over there, we were all well-trained to read a map and use a compass. While we were there, we knew we had to trust those tools to take us in the right direction. Many times, it was dark and raining, and we didn't quite know where we were, but we relied greatly on our compasses. In the same way, I'm convinced that Jesus Christ wants to be the compass for all of our lives, if we choose to rely on Him. This is especially important when we're searching for direction. We must trust Him and depend on Him as He tells us what to do in His Word. As a Marine and as a Christian, we must be obedient at all times. This is Coach Les Steckel, the president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, telling you to keep your eyes on the cross of Jesus. Even if your own retirement years are still far away, you'll find that cross is the best compass you'll ever have.
Thanks, Coach Steckel. You know, I think it's worth all of us to strongly consider the direction of our life. God has a direction for you. And so get with Him. Spend intimate time in the Word and in prayer so that God launches you into the area that you're supposed to be in. I look forward to talking to all of you next week. Again, remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. Which will you choose? From all of us here at Sharing the Victory, have a great week in Christ.
Earlier in the program, you heard Ron Brown interview basketball great David Robinson. That was just one part of their discussion. The entire interview is available for you to download and listen at sharingthevictoryradio.com. Just click on Listen Now and look for the one-on-one link. You can also call us and we'll send you a free copy of the David Robinson interview on CD. Our toll-free number is 866-788-5031. That's 866-788-5031. Thanks for listening today, and we hope you can join us next week for Sharing the Victory. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports.